Good morning, Potter's Foursquare. Hope all is well. Welcome to our Sunday morning Bible study. We are currently in the book of Matthew. And so if you have your Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 14 and we will get started. We are just coming out of a period in Matthew where we talked a lot about the parables. And I think that was a good study. Certainly learned a lot. And like I encouraged you before, it's good to know those parables, to be able to recite them, the story in your own way, to share with people. They're tremendous spiritual sort of nuggets that we have to share with others that are spoken in a way that people can hear them. So this morning, we're going to be talking about John the Baptist and the story of how he was murdered because of what he said. And the view that he had taken with respect to the leadership that was current in his life, and he just didn't feel that they were living up to the call that God had put on them, and so therefore he had something to say about it. And I think that, you know, from time to time in the scripture we teach on things, and there's tremendous historical distance. In other words, on Wednesdays, we're studying Ephesians. We talked about the role of a wife being submissive, the role of a husband being to love his wife, the role of children to obey their parents, and then the role of slaves and masters. And the slave and master role doesn't apply at all, actually. The only thing that comes close is like your boss at work. And the respect that we're supposed to have. Why I say all that is there's incredible historical distance between what was going on back in the biblical days. And remember, the slavery that we see in Scripture was completely different than the slavery we saw at the beginning of how the United States was formed. Their slavery was more humane in that when they got slaves, they were bond servants, and they usually purchased these people because these people had tremendous debt, or they had done something where they couldn't pay their debt, and so somebody would purchase them, and then their job was to work back, you know, and they had a roof over their head and food in their stomach to pay back the debt that they owed. They weren't whipped, or they weren't treated as second-class citizens. They were bondservants, and we know that because in the scripture, we are bondservants. However, not everything in the New Testament is applicable for today, and especially there are certain things that were, you know, obviously acceptable at that time but aren't acceptable now. Very rarely do you run into something that is the same as it was back then as it is now. And this situation with John the Baptist, I think, is one that is one of those situations where we can see a parallel here. And this morning, even though the title on your text will say John the Baptist beheaded, Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. I really want to title this sermon Cancel Culture, because that's what we're talking about. We're living in historical times, church, and our freedoms have been infringed upon by people who are offended by any other truth other than their own. And we are seeing people and their careers canceled by people who are intolerant of any view, again, outside of their own. And the truth must be silenced by those who have the power. You see, they cancel what they fear, and that which exposes their lives, they want to cancel. And this cancel culture is nothing new by any means. It's been around for thousands of years. We've seen it. I'm going to give you some examples. The first cancel, right, was of Cain and Abel. They both brought offerings, and Abel's was accepted, and Cain's was not. And so Cain couldn't live with that, and what did he do? Canceled his brother. King David was selected as king over Saul, and Saul, his kingdom was coming to an end, and Saul could not handle it, so he tried to cancel David by throwing spears at him. David decided to cheat on his wife, got her pregnant, the woman that he cheated with, and instead of Uriah getting in the way of that, David canceled him. Joseph was canceled by his brothers and Potiphar's wife. They attempted to cancel Jesus at his birth. They canceled Jesus when his truth revealed the hypocrisy of the Hebrew leadership. You get the picture? One day, we will be canceled as well. It's just a matter of time. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 through 5 says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around themselves a great number of teachers to say what their itchy ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." That time is coming. That time is here. People are gathering around themselves what they want to hear. And they don't want to hear anything other than what they've been persuaded to believe. Our text is in Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 through 13, and it's a story, actually it's a flashback story, of the death of John the Baptist. Let's begin reading. "At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, 'This is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him.'" This is a flashback. "Now Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her.' Herod wanted to kill John, but was afraid of the people because they considered John a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for the guest and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked for. Prompted by her mother, she said, 'Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist.' And the king was distressed because of his oaths and his dinner guests. He ordered that her request be granted. And John was beheaded in the prison. And his head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl who had carried it to her mother. And John's disciples came and took his body away and buried it. And they went on and told Jesus. And when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew to a boat to a private, solitary place. And hearing this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns." Father, we pray blessing upon your word this morning as we study, God. We thank you that you have much to say. Your spirit has much to say to the church today, especially regarding this issue. Father, we should always be free to speak the truth. Your truth is eternal, Lord, and it dwells inside of us, and there is a price to be paid for it. And I pray this morning as we consider that, as we learn about this, that you give us the Holy Spirit to be able to discern what this word means. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're here to study to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. That is you and that is me. So some observations. Number one, so set up the account of John the Baptist's death is the verses 1 through 2. It's sort of the setup. And then Herod assumes that Jesus was the resurrected back from the dead John the Baptist. And Herod is speaking in the present in verses 1 and 2. And in verse 3, it's a flashback account of the circumstances surrounding John's death. So I just want to make sure that we understand that. He's looking back. When he sees Jesus, he sees the miracles. He's like, oh, that must be John the Baptist who came back from the dead. He's going to haunt me because this guy has power. So the controversy surrounding John. So what got John in trouble? Because our focus is not on what Herod saw in Jesus, but the fact that John the Baptist was murdered for saying something that was true, but that somebody else didn't want them saying, and so therefore he was canceled. According to Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 through 12, and Mark 6, 14 through 29, Herodias, the wife of King Herod Antipas, was responsible for persuading her husband to behead John the Baptist. So more than one time, right, John the Baptist has rebuked King Herod for divorcing his wife and marrying his niece, Herodias, who had been his brother Philip's wife. This was a violation in God's law, according to Leviticus 18. And Herodias seethed with anger toward John the Baptist because he dared speak out and appeased his wife. Herod had the prophet thrown into prison, John the Baptist. So as a powerful Roman ruler here, Herod could have had John, he could have had John easily executed, but he respected John as a righteous man who spoke the truth and decided not to put him to death. So Herod, you know, without the drinking and the partying, seemed to have a clear head on his shoulders. But that particular night, he lost it, and his wife took full advantage of that. Now, Herod was intrigued by John, and he liked to hear him speak. In contrast, Herodias, she hated John. She loathed him, and she wanted him dead, according to Mark chapter 6, verse 17 through 20. So the plan was to cancel God's anointed. And ultimately, Herod's hate-filled grudge, right, that he had, Herodias' hate-filled grudge against John the Baptist was the reason that he was beheaded. Mark, Gospel gives us a little bit different perspective. In chapter 6, verse 19, it states that Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. I love when the Bible says nursed a grudge, right? It's something that we're not supposed to be doing. It's something that's completely against God's scripture, and it ends the way most sin ends, very badly. So the idea in the original Greek language is that Herodias actively sought John's death, and she waited for a time and waited for the chance to act, and she found it. So what does this mean? What does all this mean? So an interpretation, right? We're trying to pull out here some of the things that we have in common with in discerning what it means to the culture in that day and what it means to the culture in the day in which we live. So the fear and hatred of the cancel culture, right? Well, John the Baptist was beheaded to satisfy Herodias' bloodthirsty hatred, right? Remember, she nursed this grudge and she just couldn't get over it. This is not new in Scripture. Just as Elijah was hated by Queen Jezebel, so the one who came in the power of Elijah's spirit, which was John the Baptist, was hated by Queen Herodias. John the Baptist had an enemy here. And he had this enemy because the cancel culture of his day, they feared and they hated what he had to say because it was true. It was true. He was calling, you know, he was calling out what he had seen. And I think that a lot of people in this day and age, it's terrible for the church because there's a great price for having an opinion about the signs of the times and where we are. There's a great price if you speak against abortion, if you speak against homosexuality, if you speak against gender in terms of are you born a male or a female or you have an opinion about that. There is a culture in our society right now that has completely grabbed all the power, and they will cancel anybody who disagrees with them. They are powered by big tech. They are powered by big business. They are powered by Hollywood. They are powered by the media. And they will shut you down if you have an opposite opinion. And even today, we have two congressmen in the state of California writing a letter to the media companies asking them to get rid of certain news channels because they are conservative. Well, it's completely against the Constitution. They're trying to cancel conservative talk shows because they don't want the truth getting out. So you have the fear and the hatred of the cancel culture, and that's exactly where it starts. Herodias had fear that this mistake was going to get out, and hatred because John spoke freely. So that's the fear and the hatred of the cancel culture. Now, the second is most important here are the tactics of the cancel culture, because this is what they do. They employ cunning ways of getting things done through two things, through manipulation and then the degrading of people. In this case, her own daughter, right? employing these powers that we see that and they're crafty about what they do and the way that they word things. And, they, and remember, they have the media behind them to sort of craft what you what they think you should believe. And anything that steers from that path is got to be stopped. It's got to be stopped. They can say whatever they want, but when we say something or we ask a question, if we dare question, let's just say, the validity of wearing a face mask, you need to be canceled. You're a problem. If you ask yourself the question, is there election fraud in the United States? You need to be canceled. You need to be silenced. So how did she manipulate? She manipulated him because she wanted from her husband what she got. She wanted John the Baptist dead, and she incited his lust, number one, to do that by her daughter dancing and doing this thing and then using the desire to please his guest. He couldn't be embarrassed in front of his guest. She knew he was a prideful man. She took advantage of him, and she got what she wanted. She succeeded in silencing her critic, at least outwardly. And that's what the cancel culture does. It's an amazing thing when you see how news is created these days, when you see how the very same things that were happening in the previous administration are happening now in this administration, but they're very different. I'm going to give you one example without getting too political here. So President Obama had retention places for children crossing the border, and they were fenced areas where these kids would stay because they didn't have any parents, and we didn't know what to do with them in the United States because we can't do anything without parental consent. And so these kids were sort of stuck in these places. And back then they called them, you know, detention centers or temporary housing. When Trump became president, nothing had changed. Those same places were now called cages, and we were putting children in cages. So Trump's presidency ends and Biden starts, and once again, children are back in detention centers and they're back in temporary housing. They're no longer in cages, even though it's the same cage that they were in when Trump was president, but they've canceled out that truth and they've reworded it. They do this with everything, right? And that is the tactics of the cancel culture. They are relentless. I mean, you heard this week, we can't even have Mr. Potato Head, for crying out loud. The fact that one dime should be spent on changing the name of Mr. Potato Head tells you how crazy these people are. And number three, the eternal truth can never be canceled, right? Never. So later, we see that King Herod was troubled by this guilty conscience. Even after John's death, when he heard that Jesus was doing miracles, he worried that Jesus was actually John the Baptist, risen from the dead. That's crazy. It's just crazy. Why? Because Herod knew that what he did was wrong. He killed an innocent man. The only reason he killed him was he was holding truth. He was holding him accountable for the decisions that he had made that were illegal and wrong. And that's how it is in the United States now. And until something is done about that, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. I'm not on social media at all. I'm finished. And I have a very good friend that I've had since high school, and she posted some things about the election. And when I went to go open up the post, there was a warning there. And as soon as I saw the warning, I'm done. I'm out. If you can't speak, if you can't question our government, its officials, or its decisions, then this is no longer the United States. Because truth is canceled. And truth will be whatever they fabricate, whatever they can make up, whatever they can sell you. And there's plenty of people buying. Cancel culture's trouble. So what does all this mean to us? Well, in applying this morning, I want to give you a couple of things that I think are of great value to you and to me that we can learn from John. And the first thing is, in applying this, is that John feared God and not man. God was the one that he was focused on. You know, it's funny. We were talking this morning at the, or yesterday morning at the men's Bible study. We're studying the life of David. And we're doing the introduction. And one of the things that I brought up was that, you know, I knew what kind of man David was when he sinned with Bathsheba, right? And she was pregnant and God had taken the baby. And David was in sackcloth and he was mourning and he was just repenting. And his prayer was, God, I have sinned against you and you alone. And I remember when I first read that, I thought, well, no, you didn't. You sinned against Uriah. You sinned against your wife. You sinned against Bathsheba. You sinned against your unborn son. You sinned against the people of Israel. But all of that was true. But the truth of the matter is that he sinned against God first. And that was the relationship that needed to be repaired first. And it told me that David was a man after God's own heart. John feared God more than Herod. God was the one that was calling the shots in his life, and John knew that he was going to please God at every turn, and he was never going to be engaged in the fact that he was going to be pleasing man. John was out in the desert with camel's hair on and eating locust and honey. He was a completely different cat, and yet he feared God and not man. You imagine how our country would be if we had politicians who feared God and not man. The very meaning of politics is the fight for power. John's truth could not be silenced, so he spoke it. What about your truth? Are you speaking it? His truth was based on eternal truth, so he knew it. Do you know it? The fear of death was not enough to dissuade him. Is it dissuading you? You say, well, Greg, I'm not going to be killed for what I think. Yeah, but you're going to be canceled. You're going to be judged. You're going to lose friends because of it. Are we more concerned about our standing in our community or our standing in the kingdom? John feared God and not man. The second thing is, John's truth came at a great cost. He lost his life. Are we willing to be canceled? Are we willing to be hated? Are we desiring to be a friend of God or a friend of the world? God said, you are either one or the other. You can't be friends of both. And John gladly paid the price. I think with John knowing the truth that he said, he knew exactly who Jesus was. He was really the only one walking the earth that did at the time. And he wasn't afraid. And I think fear keeps us from being the best Christian that we can be. I think fear keeps us from being a friend of God and more of a friend of the world. And if you're in the middle of that, then you're a friend to neither the world or God. You're in big trouble. Jesus said it this way, I prefer that you're either cold or hot, but lukewarm, I'll spit you out. John's truth came at a great cost. He lost his life for what he said. He was canceled for the truth that he held. Number three, like John, our truth is eternal. As believers say, what we say, what we believe, has the power behind every word. The power behind every word that we speak and what we believe is motivated by God himself. And it will resonate with common people because at the core message is common sense, God-given common sense of right and wrong. And that's why God's eternal truth is so awesome. It's why our whole Constitution was written by just God's eternal truth. The very reason that we have this form of God before we even know him to know right and wrong. Just like John had his truth and it was eternal, you have truth that is eternal. Don't be afraid to speak it. Don't be afraid to be canceled. Now, I'm not saying you should go out there and pick a fight with people. That's not what we want to do. But when you are asked, and you will be asked, what your opinion is on a certain thing, and you're at a dinner party, you can either lie and go the way of the world, or you could speak the truth in love. Let me just tell you what the result of speaking the truth in love is going to be. You're going to be invited to less dinner parties. I can tell you that right now. We have a dinner party every Sunday. We have a dinner party every Wednesday. And that's why it's so critical for you to be in church with believers who are like you and like-minded. And I think it's essential that, guys, at this time in our place in history, that we rise up and make sure that eternal truth stays eternal. And if we're going to be canceled by this culture that we're in, so be it. They can never cancel us, ever. They never canceled John. They never canceled his message. In fact, John's message was so important, it prepared the way for Jesus to come. And Jesus' message is being heard every minute of every day for eternity. And it's because John opened that door. He paved the way for Jesus to come. Why? How? He feared God and not man. His truth came at a great cost, and his truth is eternal, and that's you. Do you fear God and not man? Do you understand that your truth is going to come at a great cost? And like John, is your truth eternal? Or is it a mixture of the things of this world and a little bit of the Bible and a little bit of this and a little bit of that? God's word should not be mixed with anything. If God says in his word that something is right, it's right. If he says it's wrong, it's wrong. And nothing we can do can change that. And hiding behind people and not answering these questions and not coming out, let me just leave you with what Jesus said. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. You say, Greg, that sounds like a threat. It's not a threat at all. It's the reality. Why would Jesus want to dwell in somebody that denies him? You see, this cancel culture is bringing fear to people. Fear of speaking up. Fear of questioning. Fear of having their own opinion. And it's something we need to pray against every day. And our country is headed in the wrong direction. Wrong direction. Father God, bless your word this morning, Lord. To those who hear, I pray, God, that you would just speak these things to them, Lord, so that when they live their daily lives, they can go back to this message and pull from your eternal truth about speaking truth, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So maybe you're here listening on the website that we have, and you've stumbled across this message, and you may be thinking, you know, I never really saw it, but the cancel culture is doing exactly what they've been doing since the beginning of time. And you want to be free from that. You want to be free from being a friend of this world. This being a friend of this world will hurt you in ways that you've never been hurt before. Being a friend of God will bless you in ways that you never even imagined. And you can have that blessing today by giving your heart to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. You will be sealed with the Spirit of truth. You will be given the gifts of Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, and you're given the ability to walk in the Spirit, and it'll change your life forever by just asking him to come in. And if you've made that your prayer and decision, find the phone number on our website and let us know what you've decided so that we can rejoice with you. If you listen regularly, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God, and be willing to be canceled. Okay, I added that last part. Be willing to be canceled. Because that's what John was. He was willing. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.